Good afternoon. Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network on this Wednesday, November 14th. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. The soybean market remains cautiously optimistic. Some type of trade deal with China will be worked out. Standard Grain President Joe Vaklovic says there's evidence something is expected to happen.
The premiums in the Brazilian soybean market, on the export market, compared to the U.S., have really just collapsed. For a long time, really since the onset of this trade war in July, Brazilian beans had been running 25% above the U.S. beans on the export market, and that was purely due to the tariffs. In the last just 4 or 5 days, we have seen that premium drop from 25 or 30% down to about 12% as of yesterday. So they have removed more than half of that premium that had been in place, and I think that that is an indication that the Brazilian soybean exporter is concerned that there will be a trade deal.
Vaklovic says it will still be difficult to catch up on the lost sales.
Now that's the question. Okay, so you get a trade deal, that would be a great headline, right? And you'd probably rally initially off that. Now when it comes down to the fundamentals of it, you know, it's getting late. We should have been selling a whole bunch of beans to China over the last couple of months, and we did not. We have seen some sales to unknown destinations the last couple of days, which is not something that we have been used to the last couple of months. Could those have been Chinese purchases? They very well could have. So are we going to make up all the ground that we lost because of this trade war? No, probably not. Could we shave some bushels off of that carryout projection that USDA put out last week? And we could definitely do that.
INTL FC Stone market analyst Philip Clausen says corn and wheat are trying to find a bit of footing.
And there is a little bit of support from outside markets this morning for the grain complex, with the U.S. dollar settling a little bit lower, with the EU and Britain getting closer to maybe finalizing something on the Brexit. So that's put a little bit of weakness in the dollar relative to the euro, a little bit of strength there. So I think that's helping the complex. And with that, crude oil is getting a little bit of a bounce today, currently up $1.50 a barrel, but obviously a real sharp sell-off over the last 30 days in crude oil.
Clausen says the energy market has been a wet blanket on all commodities.
Certainly there is some concern about the trade dispute and longer term ramifications for economic growth, but you know, in the short run, most indicators out of the U.S. Continue to remain strong as far as the overall economy and consumer sentiment and everything else, but a real sharp price break here, it does have an impact as when you look at speculative interest in the commodities. The largest component of just about any commodity index is the energy complex, namely crude oil. So when you see that kind of pressure, it tends to weigh on the whole commodity complex.
Cash basis bids around the region remained relatively unchanged this past week for corn and soybeans. Wheat basis improved 10 to 25 cents at a few locations. At the 6 grain elevators the Red River Farm Network follows, wheat bids are quoted 40 to 70 cents under the December contract. Corn basis is 60 to 67 cents under the December futures contract, and the soybean basis ranges from $1.35 to $1.69 under the January futures contract.
It's warmer across the northern plains today. National Weather Service Aberdeen meteorologist Scott Doring says those temperatures and drier conditions won't likely stick around this weekend.
We'll have a system move through on Friday, bringing snow perhaps for the northern part of South Dakota, southern part of North Dakota, then rain the further south you go into the southern part of South Dakota. Eventually, though, that will all change over to snow. At this time, the heaviest snow may occur from the Mobridge area, or north central of South Dakota, across northeastern South Dakota over toward the Watertown area. There is the potential for 1 to maybe 2 inches of snow with this on Friday through Friday night.
There will be warmer temperatures early next week.
So there is a potential for a little more intense snow band develop, but where that does, it's hard to say this far out right now.
Corn harvest pace is behind average in North Dakota. Jamestown farmer Terry Wanzik is harvesting today with half of his corn crop to go.
We had a few more acres, so we probably got, I'd say at least a good week to go to finish our corn. What falls off the leaves and the cobs into the combine when it's that cold, it doesn't stick to the sieves and it blows out the back end. We're on corn today. There's snow on the ground, but there's no snow really on the plants. So corn is a lot more forgiving when it comes time to harvest versus soybeans, which you have to shave the ground to get.
And Wanzek has about 30 to 40 acres of soybeans left to harvest. It's been like that for 3 weeks.
And there's never been a day where we could finish it. So we're only using two combines on corn. It's a tremendous crop, and we're having a hard time keeping up with trucks and grain carts. So we have the third combine, you know, with the still has the flex head on to finish those beans if the weather will ever allow us to do that.
And Wanzek says farmers would like to get the crop completely harvested before Thanksgiving, but that may not happen.
Farmers are trying to wrap up harvest before looking ahead to 2019. LG Seeds Director of Dealer Development, Jim Wentzman, understands field conditions are variable across the region.
You have to, you know, keep every year in your mind separate. We're still trying to wrap up this year. And at the same time, now is when you're looking at next year as far as cash discounts, getting the right seed for your area and the conditions you're dealing with. Even though you're trying to wrap up this year, you've got to look at how do I set myself up for next year. And cash discount periods, the biggest discounts are now. And you still have to make some of those decisions, not all of them right now, but you have to start.
Wentzman tells farmers to start with what they know they'll plant next year.
According to USDA, 89% of the nation's winter wheat crop is planted. That's behind the five-year average and last year's pace of 94%. As of Sunday, 77% of the crop had emerged. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. According to Kansas Wheat Vice President of Research and Operation Aaron Harries, winter wheat plantings have come to a halt through much of the southern plains. Most of the crop was seeded into favorable moisture conditions. However, the main concerns lies with emergence. Harries expects winter wheat acres to be similar to 2017.
Well, I think we'll have to see what the ultimate wheat acres end up being. I mean, we'll have to look at what we predicted and see what the final planted acres report comes out with next December. But my guess is we may end up where we were last year as planted acres. We were hoping for an increase in those acres, but with the weather delays we've had, I think we might be close to where we were last year. And although the weather's been a little bit more cooperative further north you get, I think. Oklahoma's been fairly wet. I'm not sure of the status of Colorado, but it might be a kind of a varied picture out there.
The U.S. farm economy is at a grind. Farmer Mac, Director of Economic Research, Jackson Takish, says heading into 2019, not much is expected to change. All eyes are on trade tariffs and the meeting between the U.S. and China ahead of the G20 summit.
If they can come up with a deal, there's a lot of upside for soybeans into 2019. And if they cannot, then we're going to see a lot more production switch into corn and wheat next year, putting downward pressure on those commodities.
Takish says many farmers plan to hold off on marketing their crop for a while.
You were able to market in the earlier parts of 2018. You're in pretty good shape. And so it's really if you waited, that's when you're going to have to maybe hold out for a little bit higher grain prices. It's all about that meeting with President Trump and Xi at the end of November to see if we can get any clarity on a reduction of that retaliatory tariff in China. The one nice thing that's going to come out of the USDA's program for market facilitation, the cash on that is going to come in December and probably January. It's a perfect time to get a little bit of cash infusion. So if you're growing soybeans, you're a little bit concerned about cash flow, you want to hold on to your crop a little bit, apply for that market facilitation program, and hopefully you can get a little bit of cash infusion at a time when you're desperately going to need it.
United Soybean Board CEO Polly Ruland says the soybean checkoff continues to focus on building demand for the current large supply of soybeans.
India is a great example of a market that has incredible potential, but we would call it a basic market. And if we can get those basic markets online with U.S. soy, be that U.S. soy sold as beans, meal, oil, or as meat, we're going to be in better shape than when China comes back online, right? We'll have a more diversified portfolio, always healthy. United Soybean Board also works in the area of alternative end uses for soy. So the biggest market for us is animal feed. 96% of our meal goes to animal feed. That's great, and those are fantastic customers, but we would like to find other uses for soy.
Roland says agriculture will continue to be challenged in the future.
I believe strongly that in agriculture we need to be more dynamic, more flexible, and we need to react quicker to the challenges we have. And we haven't always been that great at it as agriculture in general. So what we're doing at United Soybean Board over the past year and into the future is the farmer leaders know that flexibility is really important, that we need to move faster, we need to find new ways to use the bean, we need to be more innovative. And that will be more important the farther along we go with the soybean business. Listen, we're really good at growing more beans and more beans and more beans and increasing yield. We've got to find new uses and make sure demand is healthy for a healthy supply side too.
LG Seeds retailers from Minnesota and North Dakota are at a Star Partner Business and Agronomy Training in Grand Forks today. Director of Dealer Development, Doug Little, says LG Seeds is kicking off a new brand next year.
What we've done is unified the Wentzman seed brand up here in the north to a new LG seed brand that includes brands such as Great Lakes Hybrids to the east, producers to the west, Eureka out in California, Golden Acres in Texas, and now we are unified as one large national brand called LG Seeds.
Little says there are tools and technologies available for farmers as they prepare to make decisions for 2019.
We're going to have people that will provide them some additional resources and support to putting the right seed on the right acre. The other thing we're introducing is a team concept of selling. So we'll have seed account managers, agronomists, and also dealer development managers to really help the dealers and the customers handle their resources that they need on a daily basis. And the third thing on the technology side, we're introducing Advantage Acre, which is our digital platform that will be helping the farmers field by field choosing the right seed at the right time.
For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. With a U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement ready to Grains Council President and CEO Tom Slate says the U.S. is focused on getting back to business as usual with Mexico.
Short term, we're focused on ethanol access, and that is kind of a, there's a lot of things happening right now in the Mexican government with, you know, allowing ethanol in the big cities. Those things have to sort of play through. There's some court cases playing through. Short term, we're very much focused on that. Short and long term is continued demand growth in Mexico and throughout South America, really. That's still a very strong engine of demand. The debate is going to be vigorous. The vote will probably be close. But, you know, I think farmers need to make sure their voices are heard, that the ratification of this agreement is really important to their business.
Minnesota-based Calix is reporting third-quarter loss of $7.5 million. The company's first product is a hyaluronic soybean oil. It's expected to reach the market late this year or early 2019. Calix has already contracted more than 17,000 acres for the 2019 growing season. That tops the acreage grown this past year, with the plan to double its acreage in the year ahead. Calix is also working on a high-fiber wheat product on track for commercialization in 2020 or 2021.
The ongoing trade dispute between the United States and China is holding up the release of the Enlist soybean varieties. According to Dow DuPont Chief Operating Officer Jim Collins, there have been discussions with Chinese regulatory officials. However, China has put the Enlist approval on hold, using it as leverage in the current trade negotiations with the United States.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, December Minneapolis wheat up 3/4 at 579. December Chicago wheat down 3 at 504 3/4. December Kansas City wheat down 2 3/4. December corn up 1/4 at 366 3/4. March corn up 1/4 at 378. January soybeans up 4.5 at 882 3/4. March beans up 4.25 at 896. In livestock markets, December live cattle down $1 at 114.37. January feeder cattle down 5 cents at 146.92. December lean hogs down 15 cents at 57.15. This is the Red River Farm Network.